This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
He might find out that why it's not just about Myles Garrett. It's about him believing it's his turn to get paid, and he's the best player, he in his mind, at that position or close to it. And if even if more NFL executives think Garrett is better than Watt, if it's close, Watt should get more money than him because it's his turn to get paid. That's how it goes with quarterback salaries, and increasingly that's how it's going with edge rusher salaries. So, I mean, I think there's a better chance, instead of Watt buckling and taking $36, $37 million a year, I think if this thing drags on long enough, it gets to a point where they got to pay him $42, $43, $44 million a year, depending on what happens with the other guys.
And you don't think the gap in age between he and Parsons will matter? Parsons,
no.
Only 25.
I mean,
he'll be 26 soon.
I think the number of years will matter. I think the total may be guaranteed money.
It'll be a smaller term contract, but it'll be, I'm just as good as him and I will be for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. Instead of a 5-year deal, it's a 3-year deal. Something like that.
Which, of course, the Steelers, if they get it done, will announce it as a deal that is actually not $41 million because they'll take into account the final year of this deal. But magically, the numbers will work such that it's a $41 million
thing. I just see it going in a direction where it turns into a situation where I think it'll come across and it'll look like a lose-lose for them.
Well, it won't. If you're right about Parsons, it just won't look like an extreme behavior anymore. It'll be like, well, if you want TJ Watt, show him you love him.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think it could get to a point where the Steelers end up to keep him, have to pay him so much that even the pro-Watt people, even the people out there that are vociferously arguing for, you don't just trade your team's best player and a future Hall of Famer for a day two pick. I think even those people will say, damn, that was a lot of money to give him.
You think they'll turn against Watt for it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Will they say, why did you have to have, because it's going to get spun by somebody. Wow, well, he better produce because they gave him X, Y, and Z. They gave him all this money. I would wonder if it's going to turn people against him. Because I already have noticed when we bring up this subject of his contract and what he may or may not want and how he wants to be treated and compensated, it's not just me sitting there going, hey, he was invisible the last month of the season. He didn't even get on the stat sheet in the playoffs. I have a surprising amount of support from the people we actually see who participate on Twitter, on YouTube comments. They say a lot of the same things, man. It's not a held in the shadows opinion that he did not do much of anything when the games mattered most last year.
Look, I don't think it's a negative quality in an athlete if his drive or his pursuit is to make as much money as he can. I'm not gonna rag on a guy who has capitalistic attitude about his playing career. It's finite. It's only for a short amount of time.
Neither am I.
So I'm not going to crush Watt for that. However, don't contradict yourself and be a hypocrite and then say like everything that you're doing is about winning a championship. Because you know in this sport, the way it works is if you take less, it does help the team win. I mean, that's what Brady did.
It's the all-time example.
And Brady got held up as, you know, the ultimate.
The exemplar is the ultimate winner because he actually is.
Yeah.
But then he, so, whether it was through TB12 or not, he was able to back
right.
it up with taking less
so,
money.
I'm not going to criticize you for wanting $43 million a year, but I also don't have to, like, take it at face value or take it seriously when, you know, you say 6 months from now that it's all about winning and you're here because your number one goal is to win a Super Bowl. No, it's not. Your number one goal is to not win a Super Bowl. Your number one goal is to make as much money as you can. And no athlete wants to come out and say that, but, like, we're not dumb. We weren't born yesterday. His brother pretty much did the same thing. I mean, remember everybody thought his brother, when JJ left Houston, was going to end up in Green Bay or was going to end up in Buffalo and was going to...
Took the bag in Arizona.
Yeah, instead he just went with the team that offered him the most money. He didn't go to the team that was closest to winning a championship. He just went where the money was.
And he seemed like a pretty content guy when he played his last game for Arizona in relative, not obscurity, but you know what I mean, comparable anonymity. I'm done.
I mean,
I made, you know, extra money here. Good. See ya.
How much different, how many playoff wins does JJ Watt have? Donnie, look
like
that up.
No more than two.
How many times did JJ Watt in Houston win playoff games? Like, we're not talking about the Manning family here where, you know, Peyton and Eli were trying to compete with each other to see who could win more Super Bowls. I mean, JJ's actions were pretty much mercenary-like.
He's got one with TJ Yates of hell as the quarterback, I thought.
Yeah, they won in 2011. They won a game in 2011. They won a game in 2012. And then they won a game in 19.
So he's got three.
Okay. Charlie on YouTube, put some of these guys on a 12-hour shift at the mill and see how they feel about money. Steve on YouTube, if the number one goal was to win a Super Bowl, no one would sign with the Steelers. They're out with knives here, Pony.
So that's why I think if Watt had actually taken the tact that Garrett did, now Garrett, he caved. He didn't stick to his guns. He just took the money. But if
Which
Watt
is what he wanted all
if
along.
Watt had come out and said, look, I don't see this going anywhere. I don't trust Mike Tomlin. I don't trust this quarterback situation. Get me to a team where I can better compete for a Super Bowl. I think at that point, then, like, the finger gets pointed at the Steelers and not him.
I think that at that juncture, if he really said that and said, I just don't want to be here because
I can't
win.
And then didn't sign an extension here and actually,
yeah,
like,
I think that would lend, even though he still would want the money above all else, it would lend a little more credence that he really was serious about winning and that was a priority for him. And yes, I think he still has accrued enough cachet and credit with the fans here that people would blame the Steelers for not building a winner around him.
Like, I just hear very, very, very few people make the case for him and feel strongly about giving him this much money and feeling good about it or excited about it or, like, excited is actually, like, you know, far down the spectrum. I mean, just feel, like, content or fine with it.
People feel uneasy about it's the word I would say. At best, if they even want them to do it. You know I've planted my flag on this one because I don't want to
Look at Mackey. He wrote about the most wishy-washy column I've seen in my entire life on this topic today.
What was the headline on it?
It was basically like stolen from my mouth on Friday where I was like, I'm smack dab in the middle on this, guys. Sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I've got to find it here. Is the idea of the Steelers trading TJ Watt blasphemy?
Or
might there be some merit to the idea? Yeah, I plant the flag on this one. I think trade him. I still feel like even though we spent a decent amount of time doing this, you got an expectation set. There are people who are open to trading him but think I'm like full of crap because I said a third. Now, granted, a second is I think the sweet spot here. You're not getting a first round pick for this guy if you trade him to somebody.
Kabali pretty much echoed that today on the morning
unless
show.
Unless you've got like an exceptionally desperate pair of teams. And even then, it would be teams who are close to a Super Bowl, so it'd be a late first. You're not getting, like, a top 10 pick for...
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
TJ Watt.
3:15, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. TJ Watt, you heard Ian Rappaport. We play that for you on what's going on with Watt. Mark Cabali said simply on Friday with us, the man wants to be paid more than Myles Garrett. Are you fine with that? Are you okay with that? How would you play it if you're the Steelers? 412-928-9370. 412-928-9370. Here is Brandon on the fan. Hello, Brandon.
It's the PM team. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, what's good, Brandon?
What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, we can't pay this. We can't pay TJ $41 million. I'm sorry. I'm a huge fan. Loved him over the years, but it's time to move on. If that's what it requires, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If we pay him $41 million, you remember a couple years ago the home opener when he ran off to the sideline grabbing his side of his chest. I think it was his triceps or something that he pulled.
Yes,
that's what's going to happen. Four games in, he's gonna pull something, and just like. He said that he disappeared at the last month of the season. We can't afford that right now.
I mean, I'm not going to say if they pay him, he's going to get hurt, but I just don't think that they should be the team to give him what he wants, because I don't think that that's good business. So, bottom line there, I don't think paying a guy makes it more likely that the guy gets hurt.
Unless he just like
becomes slovenly, loafs, yes.
But he does not strike me as a loafer at all. Patrick Peterson, my podcast partner, officially announced his retirement today. I was thinking about this. If the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers, in the last 3 years, they are going to have guys who go into the Hall of Fame who just played out the end of their careers randomly with the Steelers. Peterson in 2022, or 2023, excuse me. Russell Wilson last year.
Although he's going to go at least one more year. It's a little different.
Yeah, but still, I mean, he's going to have on his...
There's that, it goes Seattle, then, but then Denver for two, Steelers, Giants, yes.
Okay, but still.
It's not quite Franco to the Seahawks in that case.
No, well, it's not that, yes. It's
in Russ's case, because he's played for four teams. But they'll have a bunch of Johnny Unitas on the Chargers, Joe Namath on the Rams.
How many Hall of Famers before this gaggle of guys that have come through have the Steelers had in their history where it was a guy who like spent only a cup of coffee here and was better known for playing the vast majority of his career with another team?
So like last stop kind of guys.
Yeah. Like this is something that's only popped up in the last few years.
Well, they haven't yet. They've been known for doing the exact opposite.
Letting Hall of Fame type guys like Ron
Woodson go early.
I mean, it used to work that way in the 50s or the 60s where you have Johnny Unitas with the Steelers at the beginning of his career. Len Dawson was drafted by the Steelers. Bobby Lane finished his career with the Steelers.
Bobby Lane.
So you have those guys before Noel took over. But 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s.
You know who they're reminding me of? The early Dan Snyder Washington teams where he was collecting baseball
Bruce
cards.
Bruce Smith.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Dudes like that. It's the first. And to me, it's a sign of bad ownership. Because like it trickles down from the owner. Dan Rooney wouldn't have been caught dead being the guy like to say, oh, yeah, bring that guy in. He's going to be a Hall of Famer someday. Maybe he's got a little gas left in his tank. As we just said, he would have done the opposite.
Kevin Green is kind of one.
But see, he popped into my mind, but he was great.
He was great here, and then
the
Panthers, right?
Yeah,
he went to Carolina. That was really his port of call, where he played it out.
I actually think more people remember him as a Steeler than anything else.
Right.
He went into the Hall of Fame as one.
Like usually, the Arizona
8 years with the Rams and three with the Steelers.
Arizona Cardinals, though, would have been. But his 3 years with the Steelers, it was quiver and quake doing the QB shake, pony. But like the Cardinals used to be the team that would just collect all the Steelers.
Steelers
discard,
West.
Yeah, the discard pile. Whether it was, you know, Faneca did that. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm struggling to think of a bunch of other Hall of Famers, but good players from the Steelers ended up in Arizona. Bad sign of the times here, man. And especially since two of the three that you're naming here are at quarterback, that means you are desperately searching for the most valuable commodity in the NFL, and you're reduced to this. Trying to flatter players who are well past their prime at that position, hoping you can catch lightning in a bottle for 5 months.
Donnie, do you have a list of Steelers in the Hall of Fame? How many more are there that fit this bill where it's like, oh yeah, this guy technically suited up for the Steelers, but he's not identifiable as a Steeler whatsoever? Because Peterson, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers, if he plays here, are all going to fall into that category. Where, like, 30 years from now, someone's going to be like, oh, wait, I forgot. Patrick Peterson played for the Steelers? Or, oh, yeah, that's right. Russell Wilson had a very forgettable year where he got destroyed in a playoff game.
I'm having trouble remembering
with the Steelers.
Many of them. Like, who would even fit that bill? They've been a last stop for some guys, but nobody who's rising to the level of a Hall of Fame
player.
Do you
have the list?
Of their Hall of Famers? Yeah.
Any obscure names on there other than the ones we named from like the 50s and 60s?
No, I mean, I can't really think of like a single one on here either that like came to the Steelers last and did all
for
their
50
Hall of
years.
Fame work
if there
elsewhere.
Were Hall of Famers, it was because
they did the bulk of their work here.
Here.
I can't think of a single one.
I know
right
Mike
now.
Webster went to Kansas City late, but he was
the
Hall
opposite.
Of Famer here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the bit. I think Pony's right. This recent trend here with Pat Pete, with Russ, and probably with Rodgers is going to be the first wave of this kind of thing. It's just when has that worked? Other than like Brady going to the Bucs, obviously, stapled onto the end of a 20-year career. When does it work with a quarterback like that? At the very tail end.
Far for 1 year in Minnesota, they went to the NFC Championship game.
He's the reason they didn't go to the... He was both the cause of and solution to all their problems, just like beer. I mean, he's the reason.
Yeah,
that
was a great year, though.
It was, but like I know for
if Aaron Rodgers had
I've
that
Vikings
year
fans
here,
talk about it.
But if
like,
Aaron Rodgers had that year here in Pittsburgh, sure. I would say A-plus season.
Yes, ham sandwich to a starving man. It would be
incredible. I would say, but even if you're not starving.
It would be more like a nice, juicy
you're in
steak.
Overtime in the AFC Championship game? My God, I'd give a nut for that.
Even if he threw the back-breaking,
yes.
stupid, ill-advised pick?
Yeah.
I feel like the next day you'd come on the air and be like, this is why we shouldn't have even gone down this road.
Totally disagree with that.
'Tis not better to have loved and have lost. 'Tis better to have never loved at all.
I watched that 2005 draft special, Donnie, about him sliding in that draft. You ever see that one?
Yes,
Rodgers?
I have.
It's crazy that all those running backs got picked in the top five that
three
year.
In the
Cadillac and Ronnie.
What were they
and Cedric
doing?
Cedric Benson. Oh. The late Cedric Benson.
Nick Saban had the second pick, and he friggin' took Ronnie Brown.
Well, I don't think the league had fully turned the way that it would later turn. I thought that happened with like Breeze and like the late aughts is when it turned full
somebody,
of passing.
Somebody says in that documentary, like this was pretty much the last that we saw running backs in like
valued
in
that
bulk
way.
Go that high.
I mean, no disrespect to our guy who's been on the show several times and lives here, but Nick Saban's quarterback was Gus Frerotte in 2005.
That's Pro Bowler Gus Frerotte to you.
Needed a quarterback, and they picked Ronnie Brown.
Hold
Why
on,
doesn't
though.
That come like
you're not? But you're not telling the whole story. The perception was that they didn't need a quarterback. Isn't that the thing here? They, with Gus Frerotte as their quarterback, were not seen as a quarterback-needy team, if memory serves. Because wasn't the whole thing, whoever didn't go number one stood a real chance of sliding?
Yeah, the other thing, too, I forget who brings it up. Maybe like Bill Polian. I know he's in there. He brings up the fair point that with the way contracts were at that time and how they were for
you had to pay quarterbacks a lot of money.
Quarterbacks, like any team that had not even a good quarterback, like a run-of-the-mill quarterback, they wouldn't be able to afford drafting one in the top 5 or 10 or with their first round pick. So that's why a lot of teams did stay away from Rodgers. Now he of course he ends up going to somewhere that already had a Hall of Fame QB, so I don't know what Favre's contract status was, but that was at least a point that got made.
Yeah, I was watching that and I'm like, what the hell were these teams thinking?
Different,
and you know what, Rodgers actually comes off back then as a very normal person. I don't know what happened to him, but even his agents wearing flannel in the documentary, like his agent seems like a down-to-earth dude. He's hugging his mom there. He's got his whole family. Something happened, man.
Well, we know that
a fissure
he's
in
not
the
very
relationship
close with his family anymore.
No, not at all. Very fractured.
Extremely fractured.
And you remember who correctly predicted that he would go 24th?
Mayock. That was his claim to fame. Yeah.
Before Bubble Butt.
Three days before the draft, he had Rodgers going 24th.
I mean, that does that actually seem like that? It's a crazy prediction. It basically sounds like, though, all Mayock did was decide, like, who do I think of those two, Smith and Rodgers, is going to go number one? And then observed what Pony just described, the phenomenon where all these teams who obviously needed a quarterback at the time, because of the way the league was, didn't think they needed a quarterback.
Yeah, that's kind of how he described it.
The call of going to Green Bay when they still had Favre, I will give him a ton of credit for that, because that's a big pull, but the rest of it kind of follows what Pony just said.
Kuiper all over Alex Smith, man. He thought he was a better player than Rodgers.
Alex Smith's like a hall of... above average to at times very good, but I don't know how to describe him, because I think Alex Smith at his best was a very good quarterback that I would have bet my whole life savings at all points was never going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, the Niners did it with got close with Kaepernick. They strictly, specifically said, yeah, you're good, Alex, but like this guy is more dynamic and better and makes us harder to play against.
Yeah, he was like pretty good guy that would get replaced by the next big thing. I mean, he was the last quarterback in Kansas City before Mahomes.
But if you, even though I just said I would have bet my life savings he was never going to win one, if you told me right now the Steelers are getting the Kansas City version of Alex Smith,
yeah, we'd take it.
I'd be like, yeah.
Time for the PM Team Weekend Review. But first, the second annual Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union is going to take place June 5th and 6th. This year, the broadcast will take place at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department, looking for 25 fire departments that will benefit from this year's fundraising. Register your fire department now at 937thefan.com, brought to you by 1-800-BOARD-UP, National Fire Sprinkler Association, Julian Gray & Associates, and Guardian Protection. All right, I think we all watched the Masters yesterday. One thing about the Masters now that I keep seeing and hearing people talk about that I'm so sick of and fed up with, because I think everyone who says it is so full of crap, is this love affair with no phones. Everyone is going out of their minds to basically like get turned on by the no phone rule there. I think the no phone rule there sucks. And I think it makes for a terrible, not a terrible, because people obviously leave there and say nice things about it. But you can't follow the tournament if you're there. It's a brutal situation. You just have to watch a scoreboard change.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Have you gone to a golf tournament?
Yes, but at every other golf tournament, you're allowed to, okay, I'm sitting at this hole. I can check my phone to see what highlight play happened at another hole.
I like it. I do like it. Because you actually are able to like talk to the person sitting next to you and actually have a real human conversation.
Oh, and when we have phones around, we're incapable of doing
that? Pretty much, because everyone's doing what you're doing. You literally have proven that at dinners that I've been attending at.
But like Papiani claims, oh, this is so amazing. Let's keep track of how many tweets Bob sends out during a round of golf, during the Masters. There's probably 40 or more. He's just going to sit there idly twiddle his thumbs and watch and not care that he can send out to his hundreds of thousands of followers what's happening at the golf tournament?
I mean, the appeal to me of a tournament like walking the Masters would be walking the entire course. Like, the last time I was at a golf tournament was the Honda Classic a couple years ago. Clearly a different thing, but my goal was for the first hour and a half I was there to basically just walk every hole where you could get to close to the hole.
Yep.
Then just start picking out groups that I wanted to follow, because obviously I recognize most of the players.
Sure.
And at the Masters, I think that's the fun of it. Also, like,
but also the stakes of both are way different.
Well,
if you
miss
things at the Honda Classic,
fine.
Who cares?
Yes, but I think the fun of it is trying to figure out sometimes like what that roar was, and then like the ripple spreads throughout the grounds and the patrons.
The grounds.
The patrons,
here we go again.
Are telling one another.
Stupid glossary of terms.
I don't know, man. It's to me, we're all so buried in our phones. I think some of the rules at Augusta National, I think some of the things that the club stands for remain annoying, very annoying to me at times. But
think of how much you would have missed there yesterday.
The fact that they go, no, okay, I could DVR it and then watch it back on TV if
not
I wanted to.
Not even close to the same. And you say you hate doing that, so you're
but I still
arguing
could do it and
yourself.
Be like, I'm at the tournament here. I like that this one encourages people to be in the moment, which I think is the biggest problem of all with
so
phones.
What happens if you pull a phone out on the course? You're immediately thrown out of there?
I don't even think you're allowed to bring them on the grounds. So there's
like a locker that everyone drops their phones in?
I'm almost positive you're just not allowed to bring one there. Like, you can't get in with a phone on you. There's like these big banks of like pay phones where if you know everyone that you would ever need to call's cell phone number, you can call them and check
So you need
them.
To write people's cell phone numbers down. And
I mean,
put
do you
them
know Amanda's
pocket.
Cell phone number by heart?
I do. She doesn't know mine, though.
See, I know Alex's, and she does not know mine.
All right, so we're in the same boat. But like, what if there was an actual emergency while you were there? Then what? You're just
I mean, that's the
you
one
know
thing
what,
I've always that's the one thing I've always thought of. Like, you know, you have to. That's the one risk that I guess that you would say they take. If somebody can't get a hold of you, presumably you'll have to find out way later, and that's obviously bad. But other than that, which is a
I just hear people
scenario,
talking about this is what makes the Masters great, that you can't have
people,
your phone. Oh,
it's
my
people
God.
Talking to each other, watching the golf, and not staring
and
down
at their
And the
funniest part is the people who are making this point are tweeting those that exact point into their
yes.
phone to say that.
After the fact.
Yes, the person who's addicted to social media and my phone, is saying, wouldn't it be great if I didn't have my phone at this big sporting event?
I think there's
event?
A tongue-in-cheek acknowledgement that they, in tweeting that, are too attached to their phones.
Man,
some
you know
of
what
them
would be great? Imagine the Super Bowl without phones.
How
wouldn't
the hell
everybody
did you...
there just have a great time if they didn't, if you couldn't
Donnie,
bring your phone to the Super Bowl?
You know what's funny? This guy has gone on the air and said he thinks he could thrive in a lot of different eras throughout history. It's obvious that if you put him anywhere before 2010 or 2000 or thereabouts and he was an adult, he would have been basically withering.
Phones.
Imagine him in the 1980s.
Phones and technology allow you to consume sports better. There were literally hundreds of people at the Penguins game yesterday who brought their phone or tablets to watch the Masters while they were watching a hockey game. You know what I say to those people? I'm giving you an ovation right now. That's a great job. The phone at the Masters, when I'm sitting at Amen Corner and I can't see what is happening at the other 16 holes, is going to help me figure out what else is going on at the tournament, not some geriatric up there changing a number 11 to a number 12.
I think that's part of the thrill. People see the 13 for Rory, and then as he completes the 13th hole, they see it flip to an 11, and people that were
said
there was like this massive gasp that went through anywhere and rippled through anywhere you were within eyeshot of the boards.
Instead of watching it next year, how about you just go to the Masters leaderboard website and just constantly refresh it to watch the numbers change? So you can sit there and just have your own personal gasps. Oh, wow. I was sitting here and it went from an 11 to a 9. This is incredible.
This is your takeaway from what was probably, at least of my adult lifetime, the best Masters.
I've got plenty of takeaways.
This is the only one you actually cared about.
The only thing
that you should get, like, you're saying, like, the dream for you is to be able to follow the Masters on your phone at the Masters, and presumably knowing you.
I wouldn't say this is the dream of mine, but I'd say I'd want to be able to consume the entire tournament when I'm paying thousands of dollars to watch it in person.
Knowing you, you'd probably be the one, like, sneaking a look at the Penguins game while you're at the Masters, which should actually get you thrown off the ground.
If the Penguins were relevant, I would absolutely do that. They're not right now. Okay? I mean, I've got takes. I also think the playoff should go back to 10 like it did in the old days and not 18, because I think that gave Rory an advantage because he basically got to hit the same shot two times in a row. And it was better, for example, when they went back to 10, because I know my Masters history in 89, when Scott Hoke missed the very short putt at 11 to lose, or when they went back to 10 in 89, and then Raymond Floyd and Nick Faldo both parred 10, and then Raymond Floyd hit the ball in the water at 11. So don't try to one-up me here and say, oh, you don't know golf or you don't care about golf.
Oh, I know you know golf.
I know plenty about golf. I just am not good at it like you are.
You're just being psychotic about the phones. Robert on YouTube. Pony, oh, poor Pony. He probably needs GPS to back out of his driveway. Oh, they're savaging you right now.
Yeah, here's the guy. The person who says they don't use the camera on their car to back up is full of crap.
Steve,
it's there,
Pony is the kind of chooch who would view an entire concert on his phone if he was in the arena.
No, I wouldn't be at the concert in the first place. I'd be watching sports. And if I was at a concert and there was a big sporting event going on, guess what? I've got the sporting event on my phone while I'm at the concert. 100%.
Nothing like ignoring human interaction at concerts or dinners so that you can watch the sports you actually care about.
I don't understand why you think that if you have sports on, you can no longer talk to people. Like, you turn into a mute.
I went to dinner with you, your wife, and my wife, and you literally were hard to have anything more than a two-word conversation with.
Chris,
because
it was one of the great games in college basketball history.
And this was a
Crucify
great Masters
me.
That if you should have been on site for, you should have just soaked in all its glory without
you're right.
the sitting need of
at,
a phone.
Sitting at 8 the entire day and watching 40 groups go by is a better viewing
experience than watching it
at home.
So wait, because you don't have a phone, you're not allowed to walk? I didn't know that having no phone paralyzed
you. Do
you
know how hilly it is? The topography of the Masters.
How
in Augusta
hilly
Nash.
It is.
Yes.
I'm well aware. Are you saying you can't walk hills? You're the guy who's been in with a personal trainer for 20 months.
You think your mom and dad would be able to spend 9 hours walking up and down Augusta National?
Yes, I actually think they would.
Interesting.
They're very young for their age.
How about you with your bad knee? You think that would be an okay experience for you?
Yes, because since I had my knee reconstructed, I ran a half marathon, for God's sake.
Well, congratulations on all your success. I knew it would come back to that.
Bill writes, Mulsey is a purist. I think that's a compliment. Pony's sitting here trying to get the neon speckled ball through the clown's nose. Just get after him, YouTube. He deserves it for this crap take. Donnie, break the tie. I think
I
the no phone thing is fine.
Phones are viewed as so bad. Especially if it enhances the experience while you're there.
Many people will tell you it detracts from the experience, and they are glad to not have it for that one situation.
I may have missed it in the melee here. Why is it that people
just an Augusta National rule?
It's a dumb rule.
There's also a rule there that like I don't think
along
they strictly
with calling
enforce.
Them patrons and not
one of the
fans.
Ones that yes. they strictly that they used to I think enforce somewhat strictly is I think if they caught you actually running on the grounds like sprinting from hole to hole,
he's
you
right.
got, you got. Thrown off.
Yeah.
That one I think
what
is kind of
what if I said,
dumb.
Hey, pal, this is 75%. You want to see 100?
No, I think a jog, I think, gets you thrown out, too.
Pump it into a
now,
light
but
jog,
if you're,
you're
but if
out
you're
out
a
there.
Player and you hit one, like, up one of those very steep hills Pony just took note of, and you jog after your shot
you
got to
get a running
landed,
start up there.
You're good.
Well,
you're
like,
allowed.
For example, in 2000, Sergio hit a shot at the par 3 there, and he was nervous that the ball was going to roll back down into the water, so he literally ran from the tee box all the way down to the ball to mark his ball before it started rolling. It's a true story. So let's not again get on my case for not knowing golf, okay?
Brandon Papa Giorgio, great name, says, I don't know how you can watch golf anyway. Try watching bowling, a real sport.
They had the national championship this weekend,
Who
I do
won?
Believe. a young guy. Someone in like their early 20s.
You know, the people who were at Augusta National didn't know that. You know why? Couldn't check it on their phones.
Yeah, as long as you don't call them fans.
Yeah, Donnie, you spend $30,000.
That part is
but
very
man,
yeah, I
you
said want, some of the rules you, there I think are silly.
You
I don't
spend
think
30
the phone
grand,
rule
but
is
hey,
one
if
of
you
them.
Want to take a picture with your dad on your phone at 18, too bad. Sorry, not happening.
You get that special invite to Augusta, but you're not a fan, no. You're definitely not a diehard golf fan.
You're a patron.
You're simply a patron.
You're patron.
You can have your egg salad sandwich.
Ugh.
Well, now you're like turning against him. Turning against me. I said I thought some of the rules were silly and the verbiage is silly. I think the no phones rule is one of the few good ones. You got to be in the moment. I'm 40 years old. I'm at the halfway
Jeez.
Mark here. I'm making the turn to number 10. You got to stay in the moment and create memories in your mind's eye.
Yeah.
Here's this guy. Oh, my cell service is bad. I can't see if the Pirates and the Reds are still scoreless.
I'm actually more annoyed by the patron fan thing than I am the phone thing.
The other thing is, like, you're making it sound like I'm on my phone, texting people about what I'm watching. I'm using my phone to enhance the sports experience. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
No, I know what the point is you're trying to make. I think the point you're trying to make is just bad, and therefore I am kind of mocking it. Pony, there's no phones, but the food and beer are cheap. You should just go there and get drunk off the grid.
Oh, yeah, I've got like $30,000 to just pee away. You're right. I'll get on top of that.
So tickets, 30 grand for the Masters. Every person there is spending $30,000.
No, you need to either win a lottery.
Yes.
You need to be a member.
Yes.
Or you need to go on the secondary ticket market
which is very
and pay
dangerous.
Out the ass. Yes, because if they...
Yeah, I think most people just go and try to win the lottery.
All right, so yeah, I'll bank on that, Chris. I'll be there next year. I'll just hope that I hit on a 1 in 30,000 chance.
I hope
more
I win.
Then,
I hope I win the lottery
get
to
too
get there.
Drunk, and then you'll get thrown out of the,
right.
the venue.
I hope that I win the ticket lottery next year. I'll put in for it, and I won't even ask him because I'll say, "Well, you can't bring your phone. You're not going to have fun. You wouldn't enjoy it."
Because everyone has said to themselves, "Man,
if I told you I won the ticket lottery and my dad for some reason did not want to go with me." And
yeah.
I said, Pony.
No, I'll go to the Masters. I'll suck it up without a phone. I'm not one of those people
I would,
that's going to die on this high horse.
The second we walked through the gates, I would split and say, I'll meet you back here at 8 o'clock. Because I know if I stayed around you, you'd be like, God, I just wish I had my phone.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I would just walk away from you.
You know, because all those people that have gone to see big games in Pittsburgh, like the AFC Championship game, have said to themselves, you know what? I just wish I had left my phone at home. I really
well,
would have been
flip
in
side,
the moment.
On the flip side, I know a lot of people who were at Game 7 of the 60 World Series who were like, the only way Maz's home run would have been better is if I was videotaping it on a cell phone and not actually
Probably.
Reacting to what I was
yeah,
seeing.
Yeah, so they would have that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's you're right. There's definitely not footage of it that you can actually see on television or on YouTube anytime you want.
Well,
otherwise.
Then why do people even tape things at sporting events or take pictures at all if you can
because
always get them on TV?
Because they become obsessed and addicted to their cell phones. Which you should use via the Odyssey app to listen to this show if you're not near a terrestrial radio. Thank you.
That was PM Team Weekend Review.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journey Journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.